Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another wonderful episode of Full Spectrum Radio. Matt, where you at, buddy? Hey, buddy.
I'm right here.
That button's a bitch, ain't she?
Yeah, especially the one that's on my phone that I had hit when I was trying to figure all this out. I didn't know if you were going to make it in it. I started talking. I'm talking to myself. What in the hell?
Yeah. All right. Hey. Okay. Music's done. Where is Matt going? Welcome to another Full Spectrum Radio.
I was saying it. Just nobody could hear it.
Oh, well, there you go. As long as you were saying it, brother, that's all that matters. Whether anybody heard it or not, it's kind of like prayer. As long as nobody hears it, or if somebody hears it, you're saying it. That's all that matters.
If a tree falls in the forest,
it really sucks for radio.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It is what it is.
Again, if a tree falls in the forest,
yes.
If I'm speaking with my,
it's still wrong. Yeah.
The answer to that one will always be yes. Okay, I want to clear the air on something really quick. Dennis, did you see that map? Oh, that's why I have the windows open, because I'm clearing the air. Did you see that math problem that I posted? The 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 × 0 + 1, what's the answer?
No, I have to say I did not.
Okay, it's 12 ones times 0 plus 1. Do you know the answer to it?
No, let's see. 12 ones times 0.
Well, 1 plus 1 plus 1. So it equals. So before you times it by 0, it's 12.
Right.
Times 0 plus 1.
All right, now you just confused me again. It's 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 12 times.
Yeah, right? Times 0.
Okay.
Correct. Times
0.
0. Plus 1.
So the answer is 1.
No, the answer is 12. It does not cancel out the previous pluses. It's one of the only ways in mathematics to get around something being it cancels out the other plus one to make it 13.
Well, I completely missed that. Now, let me go back and look at the damn thing, because, and see, folks, this is where, well, I see the regenerative candle. Oh, that's cool as shit.
I know, right?
Well, wait, but no, it can't. How does it create the new wick? The candle itself, I can understand, but the new wick, it cannot create. And the wick is typically cloth.
If you look at the picture, there's a wick going through the center of that candlestick. So as the wax melts, it drips down inside and reforms candle with a new wick.
I see. So it only recreates itself one time. Well, that's still cool as shit.
That's what I thought, unless it comes as a kit. And that's what I was wondering, is if it comes as a kit and you get like 10 wicks, will it keep regenerating itself as much as you have wick left?
I guess you have to look at the picture and assume that's its starting point.
Yeah.
And here's the really weird thing. In the second picture, you kind of see the wick, but I can't tell. Maybe it's wax running down. But in the first picture, you don't see the secondary wick. So I really have to question it. I don't know.
I thought it was still cool, though.
Look, man, I just woke up. Why are you pestering me with such fucking important questions and shit? This is not fair, brother. This is not fair at all. And I still, even though I'm looking at your Facebook wall, I do not see the 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, well.
It doesn't exist. Oh, wait. You posted it yesterday. And this is why I hate my Facebook app. Not just the app, but whoever the jackwagon is that designed, what is the operating system that the phones run on? Not the Apple system. That one actually works well.
How about the Android system?
Android, yes. You suck balls. Create a better app. There we go. I'm tired of my phone crashing twice a day. And it's all the Android system. It's just horrible. There's no sense in it. But, such as me, just venting. So, hey, on a different note, how's your week, buddy?
It was actually quite good. Went to a party at Ursula's house on Monday. Saturday and Sunday were kind of low-key, worked. When I went downtown, or I was thinking about going downtown and possibly taking the boat out for the weekend, Lake Michigan is a melted iceberg. So it's like if you have a glass of water, or if you fill a glass with ice and it melts, the water is still cold. That's the problem. It was 82 degrees in the suburbs. The water temperature is still 54. So it basically balances out the temperature on the water to like 60. Still not conducive.
The polar plunge was possible, but swimming, skinny dipping, and so forth really wasn't feasible.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. I saw something on the news last night. I don't recall which lake it was. They had folks were chilling on the beach. It's Memorial Day, which, by the way, since we weren't on air, I have to take the time to say this. To all of those who have served, and I can get away with saying this, but to all of those who have given all while they served, and to the families of those that have served, will serve, or are currently serving, thank you so much for your sacrifice. It does mean a shit ton to me. My flag has been at half staff. I actually had to put it up a little early because I was gone all weekend. But yeah, it definitely a huge, huge thank you. We wouldn't be able to do this retarded show if it wasn't for you guys. I mean, you fought for the right to give us freedom of speech. And, well, I hope one of the bullets that you've ducked, you can kind of laugh and think, thank God I should have jumped in front of that one. No, not really.
Gee, hell of a promo there, Dennis.
No, I drove over the weekend. Like, I left Friday morning. It was almost 1,300 miles round trip to upstate New York where I went. And I was reminded quite often on this trip, there and back, what this weekend was all about. It wasn't just about hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill and time with family and cold beer in the cooler. I saw a lot of flags that were at half staff. I saw a lot of, I don't know if it was just because of what the weekend was about, but I saw a lot of bumper stickers that referenced, if you can read this, think a soldier. If you can read it in English, think a teacher. Things like that. Just things that reminded me exactly what this weekend was about. So, and not to mention the fact that I went to hang out with my daughter and son-in-law, who's, he's actively serving in the Navy. But it was pretty cool. You know, it just reminded me that, hey, folks actually do know that it's not just National Barbecue Weekend.
Yeah, I completely concur with that. And the thing that I always kind of group into Memorial Day as well is not only the people who serve, but the people who serve around us every day with police, fire, nurses, doctors, EMTs, everybody who puts, it doesn't have to be on foreign soil, just everybody who puts their life and their time and their compassion, dedication on the line on a daily basis to help us here as well.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, man. There's so many thoughts that go into that. You hear so much about, I hate this country and, I'm sick of this shit. Well, here's a surprise, folks. A lot of us are pissed off at our government, but that's not our country. Way back hundreds of years ago, they hated the country, and they did something amazing. They fought to change it. Well, there's nothing stopping us from doing it now. We were granted the Constitution. We were granted the freedom of speech. We were granted the right to bear arms. Nothing changed. We can't step forward now and change what we have. If you don't like the way it's running, well, you have two options. You can either leave or you can be part of the change. I know a lot of people were in the last election, they were part of the change. Yeah. How'd that shit work out for you? Now let's do it more common sense and be part of a good change. I know, I know. Dennis got political.
I was going to say, you're going all political? I'm just going to... Oh, for everybody tuning in, that I'm really excited to have whatever happens if we can make this work. That wasn't it. So, you have to wait a little bit. But, anyhow, so, speaking of your weekend, gearing back towards initial topic of the evening, how was your weekend?
Well, I had a fantastic weekend. You know, like I said, I had close to 1,300 miles in the overall, and I've got to congratulate the state of New York and New York DOT. I don't know what you're doing, but if the rest of America's farmers follow suit and they have a bumper crop like you did this year, man, we're going to be able to feed the world for, you know, pennies. But, yeah, New York DOT, bumper crop, fantastic farming. Best pothole crop I've ever seen.
Yeah, not much better here.
Yeah, I'm assuming they, like, planted pothole seeds or something, and they had a bumper crop. That was the roughest piece of crap road I've ever been on, was the one that began with Welcome to New York. It really didn't make a rat's ass what number it was after that. It was horrible. Here's a thought. Stop planting potholes. Stop importing them, patching them. I figured out I'm going to leave the business that I'm in currently, and I'm going to move to New York and open up an asphalt plant and a paving company because there is plenty of work up there.
I was going to say, you'd have to do a paving company as well. If it was just asphalt, you'd be just sitting on a lot of product.
Yeah, yeah, because I don't think I know how to put the shit on the roads, but it was, oh my God, it was horrible. Now, if anybody in our listenership is, you know, an employee of New York DOT, I'm very sorry for the time that you had off, which is apparently a lot, because they don't sick shit up there.
I was actually a little bit more referring to the tavern that you went to.
Oh, yes. Yes, I went to a very interesting tavern, and hopefully over the next week or so, I will get the chance to talk to Jason, who is the owner of the tavern. But I went to Saratoga Springs, New York. Absolutely gorgeous little town. It gives you that small town feeling. I've got to say that they had some really hospitable people there. You know, even though I'm from the South, you know, it's not like I walk around with neon on. But when I speak, I think it kind of shows. Nobody made me feel ill at ease. But the little tavern that we went to was Saratoga City Tavern. Awesome bar. And I can't say tavern. I mean, you're talking about five stories of a bar. But, yeah, it was really cool. The first floor is that little kind of run-down country hole-in-the-wall looking place. The building was erected in 1903. Like I said, there's five levels to it, and each level has its own character, so to speak. The second floor was like quote unquote, the lounge, had the pool table with free pool, by the way. The couches and everything where you can just sit and hang out and chill with your friends. The third floor was another kind of gin raw type thing. And the fifth floor was the rooftop. From what I can tell, every floor between the ground level and the rooftop, and I don't mean patrons drinking beer and shooting the shit. We were on the first floor up in the front corner just relaxing, and I watched a little girl that was probably, I don't know, between 10 and 12, walk across the back hallway. Okay. That's, I know I'm in an old building. I get that. Well, when what I thought was the bartender came over, of course, I'm a little shy, and, I kind of hid my face, and I said, "Hey, I'm Dennis. Can you tell us anything about your location? What's the story on the building?" Jason was extremely intelligent about the building. He had shared what it had been, shared, time frames, everything, which I thought was pretty impressive. Most people don't know. They would have just kind of looked at you and went, "Well, we opened the bar in, X year," which, by the way, has been 8 years. But now he was able to tell me when the building was built, what had been there in the past, and everything else. He got done, and I looked at him and I said, "Well, that's pretty cool, but who is the little brunette girl that just walked across the back hallway?" And Jason's a kind of large dude. If I were in a bar fight, I would definitely want him behind me on my side, not behind me and against me, because that shit's going to hurt. Big, full beard. And I watched him turn pale for a moment. He goes, "You saw her?" "Yeah." "Do you see her often?" Well, he admitted to me that he had never seen her. He'd heard her. Had heard laughter from her on a couple of occasions. But he had heard rumor or done research. I don't recall exactly what the situation was on how he came to know this, but he knew that there had been a young girl killed on that street years ago. But just watching his face when I told him that I saw her was pretty priceless. And then when I asked him, "Are you aware of the rather heavyset older guy that's here as well?" And you'll hear him stomping in the back stairway. I got my typical response. "Are you fucking kidding me?" "No. It's a nice thought, but I don't find spirit real funny." He's like, "Well, that's, I don't know who that is." He's been spotted. We actually have him on security cameras. But I really don't know. So that was one of the adventures of my weekend. That was we went downtown to walk around and, see what, I guess just see what down. Sorry, that yawn just snuck up on me out of nowhere. I think that one was probably inhabited with spirit. But, that was, we had just gone down to check out downtown, son-in-law and daughter showing us around, and decided this looks like a really nice place to stop. It's mid-afternoon, and I want a beer. And that's what we did.
That's so. How? Or he was actually open to the fact of, or the possibility of you, or you coming in there to check it out, right?
Oh yeah, most definitely. You know, he, once I told him what I saw, and explained to him what else I am able to do, he admitted that there had already been, well, as he put it, you know, one of those ghost crews came through here. You know, they had all kinds of, like, you know, little meters and I don't know what they were, but they were just going off like crazy. And, you know, the team seemed really excited. And I don't know. You know, he doesn't, you know, it's not one of the things that he follows. But he admitted that another team had come through there at some point in time. They were ecstatic about what they came up with. You know, their equipment was going crazy. And, you know, me being me, I ask about, you know, what are the odds of us coming in? And he said, man, any time you want to come in, you give me a heads up phone call and you got the place. So, hey, who knows? Maybe I'll find somebody that, you know, really trusts me and is willing to sponsor me to go to New York. And, hey, here's the deal. You'll get to go on a five-story bar location with us. And by the way, they had 68 beers on draft. They had something that I've never seen before, dude. They called it the test flight. You know, here's, like I said, they got 68 beers on draft. That's a shitload for any location to have on draft. But not everybody will buy a beer or a draft beer and not try it. So they had their samplers, which was called the, well, you could do just, you know, a single shot of this beer or that beer. But they had this thing called the test flight, which was five-ounce glasses that were served. And, well, they drilled holes in a toilet seat and served the five-ounce beers in that. And he was a, you know, he takes a dry erase marker and he writes on the toilet seat what each beer is in that test flight. Now, I'm a fan of light beers and Pilsners, things like that. So he brought me five, pretty much local. I mean, not all local, but at least local to New York, Pilsner beers. And he served it on a toilet seat, which, yes, it was unused. It was a brand new toilet seat. But what a—I mean, it was just an awesome place, man. The people were laid back when we actually went back the next day, because we had gone downtown to walk around and check out all the springs that are there. There are—I don't even know how many natural springs in Saratoga Springs. That's part of how it got its name. They smell kind of sulfuric. They're naturally carbonated from the sulfur in the ground. But we walked around, and it was hot as hell. And, well, my drunk ass got thirsty. So we went back to the bar and went to the rooftop this time. The day before when we went, the rooftop hadn't opened yet because the weather was looking a little shady. So we went to go back and went to the rooftop, and you have a great view of, you know, downtown Saratoga Springs, view of the clouds in the sky and the weather and everything off in the, you know, long distance was really cool. But yeah, that test flight with the 5 5-ounce beers was really cool. So if we have any bar owners, I highly recommend you check out that idea. He said they sell like crazy. It was like, I think it was like $8.95, maybe $7.95. So you got 25 ounces of beer, 5 different types of beer. You know, a typical draft is 12-ounce draft, maybe 16-ounce draft, and you were paying, you know, like $4 for it anyway. So for, you know, 25 ounces of beer and 5 different types, it was like $8 or $9, I think. It was well worth it. And the fact that it came served in a drilled toilet seat, oh, hell yeah.
Well, speaking of, like, establishments like that, this is a question that I've had, and we've never actually directly talked about it, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Why is it that every old bar or tavern or whatever you want to call it, watering hole, that's from the 1900s, that people would assume that would have paranormal activity or it would have paranormal activity, even if nothing violent or crazy or weird has happened there?
All right. Try that one again, because you lost me. There were so many ifs and ands.
Why does it seem like the old taverns, the old bars, all of them have activity or claims of activity, even if nothing weird or messed up has happened there?
Well, I think a lot of it is ground related. I mean, I've been in houses that were built in the 80s and 90s that they don't have, you know, a long history of a structure, but there's something there because the ground itself carries something. We don't know what happened 300 or 400 years ago on that land. Saratoga Springs itself, I understand, settled back in the early 1700s. So there's no telling what stood there before this building was built 200 years after that. You know, God forbid, it could be that, you know, Farmer Jones's farmhouse stood on that land. They had a massive fire and he lost his entire family. Additionally, you know, like I said, he admitted that, you know, he had done some research and found that there was a 12-year-old girl that was murdered on the street that his bar resides on. Well, nothing says that you died on this block. You can't go somewhere else. Maybe she feels comfortable there. Maybe it was something back then that she could relate to. And that's why she frequents his establishment. Until such time as we get on that side of life, I guess, we're not going to know. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Why is the heavyset grumpy dude in that location? We don't know. So
I just, like, we were talking about this at Ursula's house, and I truly started asking the questions about it. And for all the historians and everybody there, well, nobody's a paranormal specialist, if you will. or expert, and everybody seemed to agree with me. It's like, you have an old bar, you have an old hotel, you have an old something. But an establishment that's functioning to make money, not like a hospital or, you know, where if you have major issues with your health and you're probably not going to make it, you go there. Like, I can understand that in a different way. But how many bars and how many clubs and how many hotels and all that stuff, or bed and breakfast, if you will, use it as a marketing tactic versus there is actually something going on? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, some places use it and say that, you know, we're haunted, come check us out. I don't know. Now, you also have to remember back in the day, a quote-unquote watering hole or an ordinary was the site of, you know, who knows how many horrific events. So, I don't know. I mean, I know when we go to Henricus, the ordinary there is one of two buildings on the whole area that have power supplied to them. And that's where they do their presentations and the public events and things like that. They've heard tables moving. They've heard the chairs moving. They've, you know, I looked at a piece of video that Transcend Paranormal has that shows a, for lack of better, I'm pretty convinced it's a full shadow person standing outside one of the doors for the upstairs areas. I mean, you never know. Look back at, you know, a lot of the Old West bars. You know, if you were thought to be cheating at poker, they just put a round through your chest and called it a day. You know, there were a lot of violent, sudden deaths. So I think that's why a lot of the old taverns, a lot of the old drinking locations, watering holes, whatever you want to call it, I think that's why a lot of them carried such energy.
It could be.
And,
do I think
and
that
a lot of it? And a lot of it could be just bullshit, you know, trying to help drum up business.
That's kind of what I was wondering, too, is, you know, and in trying to help a lot of teams and a lot of, you know, people who travel for a decent distance, like one of the guys, and I was just thinking about this as a whole. One of the guys that I was talking to at Ursula's party is down from, like, or in the Kankakee area. Well, from Kankakee to Chicago, I mean, he has almost a two-hour ride each way. So, granted, he came up for a party, this, that, and the other thing. But then I started thinking about, well, if they're talking about going and checking out these notoriously haunted places, from where he's at, if it's anywhere around Chicago, that's 2.5 hours. A lot of the bars around, or bars and clubs and stuff around here, are going to charge you to come in. For what? Like, oh, let these people run around with their shit for a while and then take off and, like, for what? Truly.
Yeah.
For
something that is still speculative as to whether it actually even exists, I mean, you know, unless you get, you know, chairs flying and, you know, beer bottles chucked off the wall across the room. The paranormal is still a speculative. It's kind of like Sasquatch. Does it exist or does it not?
But, yeah.
You know, location that wants to charge you all that just to, you know, come in and spend time in their location. Now, I understand covering payroll for somebody to hang out while your team goes through.
But, no, and
you know,
and I get that.
$1,000 a night to come in.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and I started to notice a lot about that. And then if, in fact, I did ever pay to go into a location, I don't mind covering the staff's fees. I don't mind, you know, like staff cost, I should say, not fees. But I understand that. Paying to be there and there's shit that is literally flying around off the walls or chairs, then I want to go back in, crank on all the lights and see what the hell they rigged to do it, if and make sure that there's nothing rigged, if you will. Because that would be my first question. Oh yeah, I paid $700 for 10 of us, $1,000 or whatever for 10 of us to come in. Oh, look, every picture falls off the wall. Oh, there's a chair that drags itself across the floor. And if you see a chair drag itself across the floor, half the time people aren't going to walk up and touch it.
And the other half of the time people are going to go, well, you know, can we review the video? Where's the fishing line at? You know. You're going to have skeptics in everything, and you're going to have speculation as to how it was done and all this other bullshit, no matter what. And you're going to have, look at the entire premise behind Haunted Highway. They drove around with the entire idea of they wanted to go debunk whatever footage came out.
Yeah.
And
well, factor fakes is the same way, and
yeah. You know, that's part of what we should all be doing anyway. We should all be going into these locations, and we should all be looking at all the evidence that's given to us saying that, I heard footsteps over here, or I heard voices over here, or, you know, this chair moved over there, or, you know, any of that shit, where glass fell off the rack. As investigators, our job is to find out, is this something paranormal? Is this a hoax? Is this location just trying to get a little notoriety? You know, I want to see their books. Are you upside down in your money? Because if you're upside down in your money and all of a sudden you have a haunted location and all this crazy shit is happening, well, maybe there's a correlation and maybe you're part of the haunted shit that's happening. Now, I'm not saying that all locations do that, but it's potential.
Well, and that's what we were talking about at the party, too, is how many people just milk us, and yes, I'm including all of us in this, like, para geeks in the fact that we just want to go check these places out. Like, they understand that and put up on a couple, you know, haunted location websites of, oh, we have this, that, and the other thing going on. Oh, it's not hard to rig a speaker in a fucking, HVAC vent. and be like, oh, yeah, there was, you know, this going on, or put a light on a timer that nobody actually checks out. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many possibilities to keep that idea going. And especially with technology and all that, like, how many places truthfully fake what's going on just for profit and then gouge everybody involved for that profit?
Yeah, I forget where the location was at, but Ghost Hunters, I believe, was the TV program that went in. And they found that the location had set shit up. It may have been Ghost Adventures or I don't know. But the location had actually set shit up, like, to shake the chandeliers. And, you know, they had speakers here and there.
That was Ghost Hunters. I remember that episode. That was Ghost Hunters. And they actually walked off and said, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They debunked everything. And at the sit-down, they said, you guys are complete fakes.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of my biggest fears. Now, I guess this is where I have a benefit. And this is one of those situations where my abilities come into play. And they also come into question. Well, shit, from the beginning, my abilities come into question. So I'm accustomed to that. You know, oh, he can remote view. Yeah, right, bullshit. Well, I've done it enough, and I've done enough locations where I do a remote view. I tell, you know, an investigator or a team leader or, you know, whoever, that this is what I see, that I've been validated plenty of times. But this is, you know, the shysters are the ones that I'm trying to protect us from. You know, if they say that my location is haunted and I do a remote view and I don't get jack shit, trust me, you don't want to spend $1,000 and find nothing. So there we go.
Yeah, but there is a gray area to that too, though. Like, for everybody out there that's you know, a psychic on their team or whatever, just because, and kind of same thing, and you know this as well, just because you're not picking up anything remotely doesn't mean that there isn't actually something going on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's, well, much like meeting somebody new. They're going to talk to you if they want to, and they're going to ignore you if they don't want to talk. Well, spirit has that same mentality and same personality from what I can tell. If spirit just doesn't want to talk to you, then they're not. And you're going to spend the whole night talking to the air in your recorders, and you're going to spend all those same hours reviewing recorders and hear nothing but you. It's kind of up to spirit and their time frame when they want to talk to you. If they don't want to talk to you, you ain't going to get shit. And if your team psychic or whatever does a remote view on the location or whatnot and doesn't get jack shit, it doesn't mean it's not haunted. But would I want my team spending $1,000 to go check it out and find out? Honestly, I'd probably rather not. That's just me. But if my team psychic says, man, I'm not getting shit here, well, guess what? Yeah, I'm probably not going to give them shit. So, you know what I mean?
No, and I completely understand that. The one thing, too, is, I mean, for the places that do charge to come in, if it's not staffed, and you know, where's your money going? You know what? Yeah,
exactly. What am I spending $1,000 a night for? Just to, you know, line your pockets. I have a, and in the long run of things anyway, unless it's a historic location that is going to help establish the finances of that location and help them keep that location standing versus being beat to death by the wrecking ball and some fancy new townhouse is going up or whatever, I have an issue with being charged an exorbitant amount of money. You know, Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, Western West Virginia, they're dumping money back into the location as fast as they can get money. St. Alban's Sanatorium, they're dumping money back into the location as fast as they can get money, trying to save building that is a part of our past, part of our history. Pennhurst Asylum, they're trying to spend as much money as they can to fix other buildings and make them accessible and make them part of the tours and part of our history. You know, Pennhurst has some of the darkest history in our treatment of the mentally insane. I would hate to see all those buildings just leveled and new townhouses put up. It happens so much. If the location wants to use the $1,000 from my team for that night of investigation to save the location, save the building, keep it active, I got no problem with it. But if the only thing that they're doing is letting the buildings go into further and further decay and line their pockets, I don't want to really go there. I'm not saying that all locations, you know, squander the money. Rolling Hills Asylum is trying to revitalize some of their buildings. You know, I can't really speak of any others because I haven't had the chance to talk to anybody else and their locations. And which, by the way, if you have a location that you want to have highlighted, you're more than welcome to call in the show, more than welcome to tell us what you do with the money. And, you know, we'll definitely highlight it. But other than that, I don't know any other locations. These are the locations that I've talked to people. So here's my disclaimer. I'm not saying that you're taking money just to line your pockets. I'm saying that these locations I know put the money back in as they can into the location. There we go.
Yeah, and if you have a location or a bed and breakfast and you're on the up and up and doing it proper and want a little more exposure, but we have absolutely no problem at all promoting it.
Yeah, and I've got to, hang on a minute, I'm typing in chat.
Hi, Lyle.
I'm trying to find out because he mentions that, well, hell, I'm not going to type. He can type. He says, hey, Matt. But he says that old South Pittsburgh Hospital is a prime example. I'm not sure of what. Are they trying to rehab the building or just line the pockets and let the building go to shit? So I'll wait for him for a moment to type an answer back in. He's in chat. But he's doing a review on video. They just got done with a investigation, and he's reviewing, let me get back here and look. Doing some DVR evidence review right now from Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. 24 hours per four cameras takes a long time. Yeah, you got 96 hours total. So if you want to start a team and you want to start going to investigate, keep in mind when you have video cameras running and you have a DVR system running and you have all your recorders running, all the hours that you have running on those instruments, you still have to go back and sit down in your little comfy office chair, hopefully, which, by the way, mine is memory foam. Thank God.
Well, also,
NASA inspired.
Also, look at it this way, too. If it's 96 hours of just actual record time, call it 100 hours with rewind, playback, rewind, playback. So add four more hours onto that time. Because you see something, you better damn well guarantee you're going to go back and even hear something, if it's audio. You're going to go back, you're going to listen to that thing, you're going to try and analyze it best you can, hopefully, for a minimum an hour per device.
Yeah, I mean, just because you have, 4 hours of record time on a audio device, you can expect probably 25% more time because you're going to be listening through and you're going to go, what the hell was that? Rewind, play it again. Then you got to copy that section over. Well, if you're doing it the way I do, I open everything up in Audacity, straight from the recorder, straight into Audacity. I play it the initial time. If I hear something or I think I hear something, then I copy that stretch, open it in a new window, and play it a dozen times. I haven't manipulated that file at all. I've listened to it, and then I've called, one of my other team members and gone, hey, you really need to listen to this. Tell me what the hell you hear. Now, some of my best EVPs ever, I don't have any questions. As soon as I hear it, I go, holy shit, that was this. And as soon as anybody else hears it, they go, holy shit, that was this. But some of them get lost in the white noise, where you got to kind of listen to it. It sounds like just a change in the static. I never present any altered audio as evidence, just so you know. And when you hear on, and I'm going to call them out, when you hear on Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters International, any of those, and they go, here's the enhanced audio so you can hear what we heard. No, I don't do that. If I can't hear it without enhancing the audio, I go, well, that was pretty damn interesting, but yeah. Now, I will enhance it for myself, but I won't present it as evidence. if I'm asking questions, can you tell us who is here, and I get a response, and in that response, I think I hear this or that, a name or anything like that. When I open it up in a new window and I enhance it for myself to go, yeah, that's exactly what I thought I heard, I don't present that as evidence. Because I have a very firm belief keep yourself above reproach. If there's no reason for them to suspect that you dicked with audio evidence, then you're in a much better shape. If they think you dicked with it at all, odds are good it's going to go to hell in a handbasket real quick. You're going to shoot yourself in the foot, credibility-wise. Well, if I have six pieces of evidence out of a location and five of them are questionable, well, and I have to enhance them to show them to the client, I just don't have anything to show to the client. You know?
Yeah.
If we have personal experiences, I'll tell them that, you know, this is a personal experience that we don't have captured on audio or video, but this is what one of my investigators encountered. You know, I'll present that to them, but I'll present it to them as, now, we don't know what this was. It may have been, you know, something natural, you know, two doors down or something. But we heard this scream. Our audio didn't pick it up, but it could have been two doors down. We don't know.
Well, and it's kind of the same. It's kind of the same thing as far as an audio file too. Be like, all right, the problem is it depends how you approach it. The problem is I had to enhance this. Do I think that it's paranormal? I don't know, but at the same time, I exactly don't know. It could be something natural, but I had to doctor it to try and make something out of it. So I can't tell you that, yes, it is. You can still present it. It just, the client or the person involved or, you know, whatever the location is, has to know, hey, it's not something that I would put any credibility behind, as, or not credibility, that's a bad word to use, that I would put any, like, strength or belief behind, but it sounded like there was something there, but I can't guarantee it.
Yeah, I mean, anything that brings your, to use your word, anything that brings your credibility into question, you know, that's what I was saying. Keep yourself above reproach. If they can't question your credibility on what you present, then you're doing your job right. If they can question what you present to them, and trust me, I am, now, you know, I go to locations like St. Albans. I go to places like Henricus Park. They're not asking for proof back. They know there's something there. But when John and Jane Doe call me in to figure out what the hell's happening in their house and why little Johnny doesn't want to sleep in his bedroom anymore, I'm extremely critical on any evidence that I give them. You know, I don't want them having any doubt when I present something to them. We caught a little girl's voice on audio. We believe that she's there. You know, I don't want them going, well, but they put so much evidence to us that seemed like they, you know, kind of fabricated. No. I never want a thought in anybody's mind that I fabricate evidence. And if you have to present evidence that has been doctored or altered, it just takes it's a little chink in your armor, so to speak, is the way I see it. You'll never get that out of me. If you present something to a client or the public in general that can be questioned, better have a way to back it up, because I'll call you out. Now, Matt, did I not present you an EVP that you questioned me on?
Oh, yeah.
And that would be, do you remember the, I don't know if you remember the name of it, but do you remember what it was about?
That was the unnamed, well, for this purpose, that was one from the unnamed cemetery, right?
Well, I gave you one from there. I also gave you the one that you questioned me from Henricus Park.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hang on, I'll play it. Here we go. I'm going to play it twice just because it's so fucking cool to me. You'll hear me make a statement, and then you'll hear a voice come back. And this voice wasn't on my team. So, here
you go. First one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness.
The first one that gets anything, that's where we congregate.
Goodness.
When I first played that one for you, Matt, did you not question me and ask if you're, are you sure that's not one of your teammates?
I did question you on that.
Because it's so fucking clear. I mean, pardon my French, but yeah, I don't blame you. And if I hadn't been there myself, I wouldn't have believed it. But I've run it through spectroscopes and everything else to see, you know, what frequency that was captured at, and it is way out of the frequency. And exactly, Lyle, you have to have a system of checks and balances. If you take everything at face value, you're going to get screwed.
Well, and here's another one, too. And I'm not going to say, I know you've heard it a bunch of times, but let's see if this will actually work. Dennis has a laptop. I'm running it off my phone. It says I click play, but it's not playing.
I'm not doing
it. Oh, this is the worst example that I could have done.
Yeah, because I didn't hear shit.
Well, you heard like everybody else heard.
Yeah, I heard noise. Tell me what it is on the board, brother, because I can play it. I got no problem with that.
I know that.
I still know that. Now, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we do have some fairly notable people that follow Full Spectrum Radio. And I heard something in that, but I'm not sure what. But what I was saying was we do have some fairly notable people that follow Full Spectrum Radio. They listen to us every week. I'll go ahead and name drop. Bruce Tangle is one of them. We absolutely love Bruce to death. He's funny as hell. very intelligent, great to talk to. But he has a audio file that I had that we captured. And this is the spirit.
Not this one.
PA talking. This is here, spirits talking.
Here it comes.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets fucking.
That was one of the clearest EVPs ever. The problem is that the spirits weren't really talking at that point.
That was before we went out. Yeah.
Yes.
That was
demonic possession. The spirits are the other one.
Yeah. Here is when the spirits actually talked.
This is something we heard with our ears.
Yeah.
It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again.
I still love your cackle after that.
Oh, my God, dude. I was laughing so hard. I had fucking tears in my eyes. I fell off the bed.
Every time you play that, though, it actually pisses me off now. Not for the fact of that you're playing it. The fact that I didn't do that thing correctly. I didn't do that section of audio correctly. I have the wording wrong.
Well, here's what pisses me off about it. And here's the disclaimer, ladies and gentlemen. As it turns out, if you choose to hang out at a para convention with the Ghost Hunters crew, well, at least Bruce, Dave, and Steve plan on catching some really hilarious audio recordings later that night, because that is what we got.
Yeah, but, well, one of the biggest culprits was Grant in that.
Well, Grant started it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure how long he stayed there, because I had to bug out anyway and go hang out with Robert and Michelle and all of them from Trans Allegheny. So I was having a blast with them. They were so damn fun. I'll never leave your happy ass alone at the bar again.
All right, here is my PSA for a paranormal convention. If in fact you go to an after party, don't leave your team with another one of the television teams. That was me being at fault by saying, no, Dennis, you go talk to Rebecca and Michelle and Robert. No, I'm fine. I'm Michelle with here. We're having an awesome conversation. But leave your team and take one for the team if that other person from your team is driving.
Yeah, I was driving, therefore I had to pretty well behave. Matt, on the other hand, yeah, there was no behaving.
I wish we had some audio from when the girl face planted on the patio, and I called you oblivious to what the hell was going on.
Yeah, you need to come get me right now. Where are you at? Out the door and to the left. Well, I'm kind of playing EMT right now. I can't come get you. Are you safe? Yes, I'll be fine. You just make sure that she's okay. Yes. Oh, my God, dude. Can you imagine if that was actually captured? It was hilarious. So,
yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to do something special right now. I'm going to try this. And let's hope that this works. I'm going to mute myself. Matt, can you carry us for a few minutes while I try to... I'm actually going to call out from the board, and we're going to try to get into George Lopez's show and see what happens.
That was the collaborative thing that I was discussing, or had the promo about, if you will.
Yeah.
George had called in our show. Is your time,
by the
dude.
Way, yeah, well, by the way, George and Jiggy, if you've never listened to George's show, he does it a lot of times with Joey Jiggy Webb, and they radio bombed us.
Now it's our turn.
Yeah, they actually coined the term, I think. I was on air, and next thing I know, I have this 6'3" black man running at me going, radio bomb, radio bomb, radio bomb. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'd never met Joey. Funny some bitch, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And then later, George R. Lopez did it too. So I'm going to mute myself, and I'm going to see if I can call them and see if we can tie into their radio show. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be silent for a little while. You get to talk with Matt and see what we can do with George and his crew. I'll be right back.
Yes, tonight George has Mark and Debbie Constantino on, which I believe they were the second segment and became good friends of Dennis and mine. So hopefully that they're on at the same time and he's not winding down the show and they only have like 15 or 20 minutes or whatever. They have been really, really busy. But yeah, so that's who we're going to be calling in and radio bombing. Back to a little bit of the Paris stuff. Do you have to say that one thing that I will urge teams to do that are out there is do research. I have a hospital which the current owner has or is choosing to not have publicized until it's torn down. Yeah, it's been in operation since the 20s. It's not a mental asylum, it's an actual hospital, but they had full things, cancer wards. What, didn't go through?
No, it kicked me right back out. So stand by, and I'm actually going to call it off of my phone and see how this works out. So I'm going to mute myself, and I'll be right back, folks.
All right, but yes, do your research, do the information, all the information that can be done. Like I said, it was a hospital that my grandma worked in forever. I will have Dennis coming to the Chicago area to do it along with my local team here and also a couple affiliates. Because I can tell you 1,000% the best thing to do is network. If you feel like you're all high and mighty, if you notice, there's only really one paranormal show that's on that's still active out there. Second one is coming up. But, yeah, it's... definitely one of those things. It's the the group of people that I have here and my support, and Dennis that he has by him and his support, it's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, absolutely phenomenal of certain locations that we can get into and work with these teams and work with these people. Paranormal is on the and the social view is on decline. But that truly is what it is, and it happens pretty much once a decade. Goes away, comes back, goes away, comes back. And let's do a little eavesdropping at the moment. So I think Dennis is going to bring their show in. Anyway, if anybody has any ideas or any theories, you know, or concur with us on any of this information, you can always call in at 323-580-5703. Or you can always message us and tell. We're always looking for new people to be guests on the show. People may not know about you. But yeah, give us a, Dennis is in the middle of being screened at the moment.
And a wine goblet, which looks like
and
a
Saturn
goblet also.
Yeah.
It really would seem to me that rather than the box itself, there was something inside the box that carried some really bad energy with it.
And this is what they're talking about at this point, are the Dybbuk boxes.
You know, I'm not sure that it would be witchcraft in the sense of, you know, trying to cast a spell or something like that. I do think that, you know, when you're dealing with something relating to Jews from the Holocaust, the energy would be off the charts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Particularly if it was something from someone who died during the Holocaust. So I don't think anybody sort of actively did this. What's interesting to me is that the old woman who originally owned the box asked that it be buried with her.
Mm.
And frankly, that is exactly what should have happened.
Now, I don't want to take up all your time, but I had heard that whoever owns the box now actually has it encased in gold and to where it kind of pacifies the box. And from what I don't know if it's encased in gold or been given gold, but I also heard, too, that if it's not happy, it smells like urine. Have you heard any of that?
You know, I've heard that there are some strange smells associated with it. Some of it urine. I've heard ammonia also, which would be close to urine. There was a second box that someone created as an imitation of the first one. But I've heard also that they put it somewhere so that it, you know, encased it in something so that it couldn't do any more damage. But from our traditional point of view, something like that really should have been buried in a Jewish cemetery, which would have negated. See, we do this. We bury stuff all the time. Some of you may have heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls, where they found all those scriptures. That's because in Judaism, you don't burn stuff to get rid of it. You bury it. In most Jewish cemeteries, there'll be a section where every so often the synagogue will open the cemetery and bury prayer books and things that are no longer useful.
I have a ton of stuff to say on this subject.
It seems to me, and this is just speculation, that the Orthodox woman probably knew that whatever was there, especially if it was attached to the human body parts, should have been buried in a Jewish cemetery, and probably prayers should have been said over it.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have a real quick question. So, you know, when you're saying you kind of have a feeling, you know, about what may have gone on and stuff like that, so are you surmising that this woman, like, that this woman maybe took a lock of someone's hair, not knowing the ramifications? Like we have a daughter that passed away, and we have a lock of her hair. So would it maybe have been something to where this woman did it not knowing the ramifications, or did it knowing, you know, having other intentions?
Probably not knowing the ramifications.
Gotcha.
We in Jewish tradition, we don't really do things like that. You won't find, like, rings. You know, in the Victorian age, they used to make rings out of people's hair after they passed away. And Jews frown on that sort of thing. And
right.
So we don't generally do that. But, you know, it wouldn't be just that. It would be the whole energy of being in the Holocaust.
Right.
That would set something like that off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big believer in places having energy, not necessarily just ghost energy, or even residual energy. Just some places are just bad, or can become bad. And certainly when we're talking about the Holocaust, I mean, the death camps are just bad.
Right.
All righty. Well, I tell you what, Rabbi and Mark and Debbie, it's time for our first break. I have a feeling, and I hope, Rabbi, this is going to be okay with you, this is going to be one of those shows we're going to have to go into overtime. But let's get those let's get that music queued up. Bill, let's get this break out of the way so we can go ahead and go straight through. Everybody, remember, you're listening to Paranormal Kool-Aid. We broadcast live every Wednesday on Blog Talk and iTunes. We'll come back from this short break in just a few.
And Full Spectrum Radio.
You're currently listening to Full Spectrum Radio, but we have tried in with Paranormal Kool-Aid. Here's a good chance to take a break, head off to the latrine.
Do you think you've missed something? Or did you want to hear that again? Well, Paranormal Kool-Aid is available to replay in our archives. Just visit our Facebook page after the show, and the link will be posted. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Matt. We need that.
Hi, this is
what?
Brian J. Cano from Sci-Fi's Haunted Collector and Scared, and you are listening to
what?
Paranormal Kool-Aid.
Porn music? Yeah, we do.
No, that little tie-in with
Wait, everybody.
Find Our Archive.
I want to remind you, you're listening, and to Paranormal Kool-Aid, and I want to tell you guys that you can hit us up on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We got a website. We're on Facebook and Twitter, so don't forget to check all that out. And Chris
yes.
is going pretty awesome tonight. I'm just soaking in all this info. Pretty
yes.
great.
It's, you know, awesome information. And we just found out that our friends Dennis and Matt are simulcasting our show right now on FM radio. And I believe they're callers. They've got questions for Rabbi Sid. Bill, if you can do me a favor and you can just go ahead and let's bring them on the air live and
unmuted.
Let them ask a question or two. Are you guys there?
What's going on, everybody?
Hey, welcome back to Paranormal Kool-Aid.
Hey, we got. Hey. That's the first. That is since the first time we've ever gotten applause.
No, I got applause that one time, but it was only when the cops showed up, and it was really embarrassing. But we won't talk about that one.
We pay this group of people. We kick them in the pants every once in a while to go ahead and clap. But you guys are live on the air with us here at Paranormal Kool-Aid with Rabbi Sid. You guys have a question for Rabbi?
Matt, I'll let you take it first, and then I'll put my question out there. But, hey, thank you, brother, so much for having us on, man. It's fantastic. We've actually tied in our program. So we are simulcasting with Full Spectrum Radio right now. So our listeners are your listeners.
Awesome.
And
thank you, Paul.
I think we've got some fantastic minds together. So, Matt, go ahead with your question, and then I'll hit them with mine, brother.
You know what? As far as the Dieback Box goes, I've been watching a lot of stuff, and I'm not Jewish myself, but there's been a lot of focus around Jesus and Judaism and everything in that realm. One thing I noticed, and especially right before you guys went to the quick little audio break, that you were talking about the box being encased in gold. Well, certain people, if coffee's not involved, that they say that it smells like urine or sulfur or any of those or minerals of that sort. What's the chance that it just wasn't that pure, because all of those minerals that'll give off that scent are actually involved in the gold casing process. That's just kind of like,
yeah, I've not really seen anything that says it was encased in gold. I did hear something about acacia wood, which was used for the Ark of the Covenant in the Bible. I saw something like that, but I haven't seen that it was encased in gold. I would think that since the thing was the box was on eBay for sale, the gold might really push the price up beyond what any normal person could afford to do. So I'm not exactly sure that's a true statement. I haven't. It could be, but I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
But could it make that smell? You know, honestly, I wish I were close enough to that much gold to find out.
Completely agree with you there.
All righty, guys. Next question.
All right. Well, this is Dennis. And I'm actually going to throw mine at Mark and Debbie. It's wonderful to talk to the two of you. I guess my best question is, how do you distinguish what is and what is not something from beyond? And, you know, what is the best EVP that you've actually captured thus far? I realize that's kind of a standard question, but...
Well, my thing is, there's so many, and, I'm sure we'll be back on the show again, but I was kind of interested in hearing what Rabbi had to say, but I don't know, Mark, do you want to answer that real quick? I guess the best one I've gotten is thank you, but we've done it at the Goldfield Hotel, because it was just so clear, but... I don't mean to be rude. I just kind of hesitated to sit on to the second hour because, you know, I don't want to move in on someone else's time. But I don't know. I'm pretty interested in Dybbuk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, you know, when you get into kind of when you delve into EVP a little
muted.
Bit deeper, you know, you come to realize that the most important aspect of recording for EVP is controlling your environment. You know, that's why, you know, I think sort of kind of we've made our niche with, you know, doing a recording for a minute and then turning around and playing it right back in front of everybody. But we kind of have it down so much now to where, you know, we've got it to where we tell people, okay, take 5 minutes, you know, sit on the floor, put your equipment out, do whatever you need to do, you know, get comfortable so when we turn the recorder on, there's not a lot of movement. And if you whisper, which it will happen in every single investigation, just say it was you so we can mark the recorder so that we're not listening back a month later, uploading them into the computer thinking we have EVP when it was someone in the back room, you know,
right.
Talking.
Right.
So I think that's the most important part, is controlling your environment. And I think that will take up probably 99% of take care of, I should say, 99% of your false EVP.
Right.
Is just
all
by
right.
doing that one aspect. That's why, wait.
Listen, because it's not your hour. But I just want to say real quick, as far as Rabbi, the one thing, I know there was one book written on the dip it box. Now, I didn't read it. But a friend of mine did tell me, now I don't know if it was encased in gold or where the gold came out, but I do remember him saying, and he's pretty credible, that I guess the more gold it gets, the happier it gets, and the less it acts out with the smell of ammonia. So that's where that came from,
mm-hmm.
And it's just hearsay. But I'm sorry to interrupt you, but go on.
No, that's okay. You know, it's become kind of an urban legend, and there are so many stories now about this box that it's gotten more and more interesting over time, as some of these stories do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And Rabbi, we have got so many chat, just like we had the first hour with Debbie and Mark, we've just got so many questions. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to ask the first chat question. I'm going to go ahead and I'll throw it to Chandra. But this first chat question comes from Kara Davidson, and she wants to know, does the Jewish faith have an equivalent of the Catholic exorcism?
You know, we don't talk about it very much, and it is it's rarely done, but we actually do. It involves sounding a ram's horn and saying different psalms and prayers. The ram's horn, the sound of the ram's horn, forces the dybbuk or the spirit to leave. And so we do have it, but again, it's very, very rarely used. In non-Orthodox Judaism, it's probably not even known by most people.
Wow. Jamie, do you have another chat question?
I actually have one from Wild Bill. He wants to know, because he, I think he said he frequents a historical Jewish cemetery, and he wants to know, why do they place rocks on the top of the cemetery headstones?
That is a very good question. First of all, we do not use flowers at funerals. And the reason is because flowers are a sign of life. For example, a man is supposed to give his wife flowers before the beginning of the Sabbath and things like that. So we try not to mix our metaphors in Jewish tradition. Now, that's why you don't see a lot of people putting flowers by graves.
All right. So that was a very short time. We didn't want to trump on anybody's time on their show. And I know we're setting up to do another show that's full, all out, just a big round table. But George was very, very accommodating to have us on. And definitely appreciate that. I know it was more geared towards the rabbis hour, but since everybody's involved, we had to give it everybody involved. That's the way that we do it here on Full Spectrum. Dennis, you back with us?
Yeah, I am back, brother. There was a conference call, and I'll tell you, they've got a great idea. Now, I've heard, you know, everybody can look up Dybbuk on eBay. And apparently they were speaking in regards to one specific Dybbuk box. I'm not familiar with which one, simply because we jumped in late. But the idea in the Jewish community of a Dybbuk box was kind of a spirit trap, and that was what the Dybbuk box was about. You put your most valuable items in it, and then when you passed, your spirit was going to join those items. And a loved one would actually close the box and lock your spirit with your most endeared belongings, I guess. I'm of the belief that I want to be cremated when I'm dead. I don't want my spirit trapped anywhere. I don't want my body trapped any one particular place. So I personally, and this is a personal statement, I personally do not like the idea of a Dybbuk box, simply because I don't want, I want free roam. You know what I mean? Just the way I feel about it, I want free roam. When I pass, I want to be able to, haunt everybody that I just think I can have fun with. And the idea of a Dybbuk box was that your body, your spirit, well, you're not necessarily your body, because they considered it just a vessel to carry the spirit. But the Dybbuk box was to capture your spirit, and you would remain with the Dybbuk box for however long until somebody opened the Dybbuk box. I'm not really down with that. I don't want my spirit stuck in a box. I want to be able to, you know, have free roam. And, well, truth be told, go screw with everybody I wanted to screw with.
Well, we always made that pact that if we pass on, if I pass on before you or you pass on before me, we're haunting the hell out of each other, but in the most messed up way that we possibly can.
And in the most hilarious way. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, at some point in time when I die, Matt is going to air Full Spectrum Radio and share EVPs from me. And he's going to have EVP sessions that go, Dennis, are you with us? And you will hear a response like, Doc. Dennis, can you hear us talking to you now? Bicycle? That's going to be my fun. And I'm convinced that I'm going to be able to do that for generations.
I'm doing the same thing to you. If I end up dying in a motorcycle accident or something like that, yeah. We'll still carry on Full Spectrum.
Now, let's not talk about how we're going to die. Just that at some point in time, we will. Life is
inevitable.
A death sentence. But let's not talk about how we're going to die. Because then you open up a new box of worms for precognitive sight and everything else. Now, that in itself is pretty amazing. You know, anybody that can precog how they died or anything like that, anybody that can, well, hell, for that matter, even what I do, you know, doing remote views, pretty cool. But, yeah, we don't want to open this up for that with only 13 minutes left in the program.
That's a whole other two-hour program.
Now, if you'd like to, you can call in 323 580-5703. But keep in mind, you only have a few minutes, so you can call in, ask a question, make a statement, whatever. But it's got to be pretty brief. But, yeah, I don't want to get into precognitive, you know, I'm going to die because of or in this manner. Yeah, that one, I don't know. It, for some reason, just the way that you said it, didn't sit comfortable with me. And especially given the fact that you just washed out a couple of weeks ago and got to ride the pavement. Dumbass.
Yeah. It happens. Picked it up. Picked it up. Went to work. And riding tomorrow. Hey, if you fall off the horse and you can't get back on, you got more issues than just fear.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that does remind me. You know, for those that don't know, this past weekend was Memorial Day weekend. So for the one of you that's not familiar with, Washington, D.C. gets inundated every year for rolling thunder. About 250 to 300,000 bikes roll in. I hope each and every one of them got home safely. And I hope each and every one of them got to Rolling Thunder safely. I noticed a huge, I'm not real sure what the hell the word is. I noticed a huge amount of bikes rolling towards D.C. And for the most part, I've got to give them huge kudos in the fact that they rode respectfully. They rode, you know, obeying the laws of the highway. But like any crowd, I did see some assholes. Here's a simple thought. You're on a motorcycle. You don't have a shell around you. Well, try not to be an asshole. Try to get from point A to point B. Preferably alive.
And don't stop at every bar. Sorry, see that a lot around here.
Well, I have no problem with them stopping in every bar as long as you don't drink.
That was implied.
Through my nearly 30 years of riding bike, I made a discovery. Gravity and alcohol are worst enemies. They do not get along well. I'm not going to lie. I screwed up one time when I was like 19. Rule number one when you stop at a traffic light is what? Put your foot down. I was like 19 and I broke rule number one. I didn't put a foot down. Gravity sucked me to the asphalt like a bitch. And it was just one of those simple, stupid things that I didn't think about. I was young and I was dumb. So try not to be young and dumb. Try not to emulate young and dumb. Pay attention. The sad part nowadays, on a motorcycle, you have to run around with your head on the swivel, kind of like an owl in a tree. You have to look at all sides at all times. Just make sure that that's what you do. Pay attention to everybody else. Because that jackass beside you might not be paying attention.
Oh, and that's a whole other show, which I'm planning on having soon, of motorcycle riders talking about, we talk about it all the time, why the hell not have them on? But...
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Just people who ride every day and see certain things or witness certain things or experience certain things, why not? You actually get to hear the voice from the bikers that you may not see. Not saying that everything is the person in the car's fault. It could be the actual rider just not having the education, and it'll help them be a safer rider. 'Cause lane placement and relation to where the car is in the lane is huge also. So the fault of what we hear about XYZ got killed, not nothing to do with drinking and driving or drinking and riding, like just the actual placement of the vehicles makes a huge, huge difference. So, hopefully with this son of a bitch winter that we've been having, which it's cold right now. It's 58 degrees here. That's still technically winter and pull out your traps and all that shit. No. Car drivers who don't ride still aren't looking for motorcycles. That's when it's up to the rider to be able to place themselves in a proper position if, in fact, they need to get out of the way or do something to evade themselves getting hurt. So, anyway, wrapping up the last of the show, George and Mark and Debbie and
Rabbi.
Everybody, I was looking at that right now. And the Rabbi and everybody else involved, because they didn't have everybody's name on the list, but apparently there was a lot more people involved. Just want to say thank you. Just want to say thank you. Definitely appreciate the time that you had us on. We're going to have to do and I messaged George about it, and saying that we're going to have to do a big roundtable coming up soon.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. Anytime that you can get multiple brains around the table and talk about this field that we have, so affectionately termed the paranormal. Anytime you can get a lot of brains around the table, that's awesome. The more brains in this field, the better. Just like anything. The medical field didn't get where it's at now to where they can, implant a heart by nobody paying attention to it. So if we can get attention to it and we can get intelligence into it, then we can progress this field where it needs to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to figure that even four decades ago, the lobotomies were still a good idea. And we all know how that turned out.
Well, for some people, I still think they are a good idea.
Well, yeah, for people you want to torture.
Well, yeah. Yeah, see, so, you say that word like it's a bad thing. There are some people that deserve that. So I'm just saying. That,
yeah,
you know,
I know. Brother, but I think we got some plugs and a quick play out.
Oh, you want to actually close on time. All right. You want me to do the plugs?
As you always do.
Oh, okay. Well, you do the opening, I do the plugs. That works out. I'm good with that. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you immensely for joining us once again for Full Spectrum Radio. I am CPR Dennis. He is
CPR Matt.
You can find us at Facebook and Twitter under those names. You can also find us at ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com and Facebook. I want to thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully it has been worth your time. Now, I'm not real sure what I want to play us out with, but I think this will be okay. We mentioned the Divic Box when we joined in with George Lopez's show. We mentioned earlier about playing God on how we communicate. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week. And here's a little bit of playing God. Can't make it.